This is Melbourne calling. Welcome to Granny Bingo Wireless. Now get Mummy a drink, Toodle Pip.
Hey, come over here, go over there. Don't be scared now, yeah. Lift up your head, hold out your hand. Pull up your pants now, why did you pull down your pants? We only just met, but that's why I like you. People connecting, grandma's laughing. Nostalgia and ethnic dancing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Granny Bingo Wireless, Australia's number one podcast. My name is
Have we done this before?
Yeah, we have, love. I'm trying to be professional.
Sorry.
My name is Ms. Edith Vale, and I'm joined today by my best friend in the entire world, Mrs. Maureen McGillicuddy. How are you, Maureen?
I'm top of the world, thanks, mate. And it's wonderful to be here with all of you.
Yes, of course. For those of you who are listening for the first time, Maureen and I were doing this podcast in the lockdowns here in Melbourne. Everyone loved it so much, and we stopped doing it when the lockdown ended because, of course, we got our lives back, didn't we, love?
We did, and I honestly, the thought of coming back to do this, I don't know, I've been emotional thinking about the opportunity to reconnect with everybody. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I don't really want to. I just sort of wish we're at a stage in the world where AI could just be doing me. I could be done by AI. And then I don't have to do anything. But anyway, I'm here. So
yes. Well, I'm glad you are, love. I don't think I'd get along as well with the computer as I do with you. I didn't particularly want to bring this podcast back. You know, I was happy to do it in the lockdowns when I had nothing else to do. But I thought, I don't want to spend my time making podcasts for sad little people sitting at their house with their little iPods listening to, you know, that's not a good use for my time. I've got very limited time left on this planet. I don't want to really spend it making content for losers. But then I thought to myself, you know, the podcasting industry, it's full of, you know, young, white men's voices. And I thought, no, enough. You know, I thought it's time that we had some older women podcasting and adding their voice to the chorus.
We're still white.
Oh, yes, of course. We're still white. I mean, you know, can't be too niche. Anyway, we are coming to you live from the nursing home that we live at, Areola Gardens. It's a beautiful little nursing home, isn't it, Maureen?
Feels like home to me. Yeah.
And we're not the only two people in this little shared room that we've been forced into by the government. We are also joined, of course, by this abscess of a human being, Caroline Springs. Hello, Caroline. How are you?
Hello, Caroline.
Have you had a good break from the podcast, Caroline? Are you doing all... Listeners, Caroline is a dumb mute, and we've got her tied up, chained up, really, in the corner. Hello. You're having fun there, Caroline?
What does that mean? Is that sign language?
I think it might be. She's got listeners you can't see, Caroline. I'll try and paint a picture for you. Caroline's got a Monopoly board in front of her. Now, no one's been allowed to touch that Monopoly board since 1972. Her husband and her were playing a game of Monopoly, and it was his turn. He said, Caroline, I've just got to pop up the shops. And he never came back. And she still thinks he is coming back one day. She's still, you know, hoping to barter for Trafalgar Square, I believe. But it's not happening, because he's never coming back.
I downloaded on her computer, iPhone, the other day. I downloaded the Monopoly app for her. Because I said, well, while you're waiting for your husband, why not play against complete strangers on the internet? And she said, whatever. And I downloaded it. And next time I go into McDonald's, when they've got the Monopoly competition on, which is my favourite time of the year.
Isn't it fantastic? What do you like to get at McDonald's?
I get a quarter pounder, large quarter pounder meal with Coke, no sugar for a drink. I get a McFlurry with all of the toppings all mashed in. And I will tell you something now. If Ronald McDonald is listening to this podcast, listen up. I'm 91. I've lived through 6 world wars. I invented chicken nuggets. Mate, you're making that much money off me. If I buy another McFlurry from one of your restaurants and it's not been mixed up by the staff, I'm going to lock the doors of that McDonald's restaurant. I'm going to keep everybody inside it, and I'm going to start a grease fire. And I will only take Grimace out with me. Birdie can stay in. Ronald can stay in. The 12-year-olds that work in the back kitchen can stay in. All of them are going to die. Unless you mix my McFlurries up. And then I also get an apple pie, but I keep that for later and put it in the microwave.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Yes, I like the apple pies. Very nice. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so people had been nagging us to bring this podcast back, and we didn't want to. So we didn't. And now we've decided we want to, so we have. So let that be a lesson to all of you.
That's how it works. I mean, what, you know, all these people begging and screaming for things to come back these days. Oh, bring Frasier back. Bring Neighbours back. Oh, bring Granny Bingo podcast back. Have you not learnt your lesson? They're terrible when they come back. I offer no quality assurance of this season of the Granny Bingo podcast. Sorry.
No, don't say that, Maureen. I'm sure it's going to be fabulous. You know, it'll be full of entertaining, wonderful little tidbits and our usual banter and a little bit of sassiness and all sorts of fun. Stay tuned in, listeners. What? What else has been happening? So what else have you been up to, Lev?
What have I been doing? I've been that busy. I caught a bus last week, and because buses is probably my favourite way to get to the shops. And I like to go on Tuesdays because it's the week after I get the pension, when the pension comes in every fortnight, I have to go to the post office to pay my bills because, you know, cost of living is just unbelievable. And I pay on a payment card, so I pay the sort of same amount, $50 every fortnight, and that sort of keeps me ahead of the electricity bills and my gas bills and my water bills. I don't have the internet. And every Tuesday I go and do that. And I also bought some grapes and I got a new shampoo, a new type of shampoo, which I'm looking forward to trying.
Wow. See, listeners, did I promise you that this podcast would still be interesting and entertaining?
It's the way I live my life. You know, people find I could talk about the dump that I took this morning and people would find that interesting. I don't really understand how or why. But anyway, I did that on the way to the hospital to see my sister. I've got one sister left. There was four girls in my family. I've got one sister left. And her name's Doreen.
I've never liked her.
Doreen?
I've never liked Doreen.
Did she have a fight or something?
No, she's always just been quite rude to me. She always sort of looks at me with a bit of, you know, these people that have half a smile on their face, like they're smirking at you whenever you're trying to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
Sort of like she thinks she's better than me, you know, like her shit don't stink. She's always just half a smile on her face. And I just think that's rude, you know.
You know, she had a stroke, don't you?
Oh, really? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Half smile, she can't sort of help that.
Some of the things I've said to her, that's horrible.
The fact that her shit doesn't stink, that's been a positive outcome from the stroke.
Oh, well, how is she?
She's dying. She's probably only got a few weeks to go, they reckon, but it was nice to see her. We watched Neighbours together. And she's in hospital. So Doreen is my last living sister. I'm worried I'm going to end up being the longest living one in my whole family, you know, because she's the only one left and she's about to die. So that's a valid concern on my part. And so she's in hospital with this sort of ongoing issues with people bullying her after she had a stroke. So I sort of said my goodbyes. I could go back and visit again. There's no, sort of no issues with that, but, you know, it's such a long
trip. Busy with this podcast.
And got the podcast now and Christmas and, you know, I said to her, I'm going to the Cup, you know, got all these things on. Anyway, what have you been doing?
Well, you mentioned the Cup. Gosh, I had such a good time. I didn't see much of you there, though, Maureen. I sort of lost you once we went through the gate. But I had a bit of a win.
Good.
Which was very exciting, yes. Won quite a little bit of money, so I'm quite happy with that. It wasn't on the trotters, though. I managed to sneak into the birdcage. I was there with Beryl Beltbuckle, you know Beryl. For new listeners, Beryl is an acquaintance of ours. And Beryl and I snuck into the birdcage. I said that we were just some generic couple from The Bachelor, and security just said, oh, another one, in you go. Anyway, so we're in there, you know, hobnobbing it up. And Beryl said, well, should we put a bet on? But there was such a queue for the bookie. So I said to Beryl, what about we just start taking bets on which celebrity is going to go to the bathroom and rack up a line first. And I won, which was very exciting.
Who was it?
$400 I made. Very tidy profit.
Yeah, and a perfect amount in case you wanted to join that celebrity.
Mm, that's right, yeah.
Who was it? Who did you back?
Well, Beryl came in a close second. Of course, she put her money on Benita from Play School. But
oh, yeah.
I won with Huey from Huey's Cooking Adventures. He was straight in there, and he was in there for quite a while, and I could hear all his sniffling and grunting and stuff, so I assumed that that's what he was doing in there. What did you get up to at the races? I lost track of you as soon as we walked in.
Did I go?
Yes, you were there.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Oh, no, I'm so embarrassed. This happens every year.
Oh.
I don't know. Oh.
What's the last thing you remember?
Oh, I was talking to this guy. Mm. We sort of... Well, he was a contestant in the competition. Nice guy.
Oh.
I didn't get his number.
Right.
I didn't get his number. He was. I wish I'd had paid a bit more attention.
One of the jockeys.
No.
Oh, Wolverine.
No. I don't know. I didn't get his number. Otherwise, I'd be able to look up the paper and say race 6, number 3. I was a bit. You know, I drank too much. I'll be honest, I drank too much. And I know that's not the Catholic way, but there's something, I don't know if it's the smell of hay or the desperation of gambling or the sadness of people who lose. I don't know, but it makes me just want to down a bottle of vodka and get absolutely wrecked. I wanted to be loose, Edith. I said, nup to the cap, and I drank the whole bottle of vodka. I must say, I did have a good time. I'm a bit sunburned.
Where? I can't. You look all right.
Yes, that's the problem. That's why I'm standing up.
Right.
I found myself being escorted home by the public servants dressed in blue, and they took me home with my head inside the divvy van,
right,
and my backside hanging out the end,
right,
because it was so horribly burnt.
Right.
That apparently I spent 11 hours with my head inside the rose bushes in that roundabout thing where they'd walk the horses around,
right,
before they go for a race, you know, mm-hmm, that they sort of, the little helper walks the horse around. I was in there and people thought it was just a sort of a sculpture, but it was actually my fanny, it was my back end sticking up, and the sun has scorched it so deeply that I'm going to have it removed so that they can get to the skin cancers deep inside.
Right.
But That's I've got to do that next Wednesday.
Oh, right.
So it was a good day overall. I really enjoyed it.
Right. Okay. Shall we move on from there? I think that's enough. Let's have a look and see. Of course, we always like to go through the newspaper and see what's been happening, because we like to keep our listeners educated on worldly topics. Let's have a look. Got a fresh copy of the Herald Sun right here.
Mm-hmm.
And, gee, there's not much happening, is there?
No, it's been quiet. Ever since everyone stopped coughing, there's been nothing on.
Gaza, Gaza, Gaza. Oh, here's something. Here we go. It says here they have found an albino platypus, the 12th ever found. How cool is that?
Oh, congratulations.
Only the 12th. The first one was found in 1789, and of course that's only 1 year after Australia was discovered. So, you know, pretty amazing.
You think it's that great, do you, Edith?
I think it's pretty cool.
You think it's some kind of feat. Maybe you should have a look in the backyard and have a bit of a gander at my section of the backyard. There is 11 albino platypuses in there.
There is not. You're pulling my leg.
There is. They say it's the 12th ever found. I've got the bloody rest. This is what I don't understand. How is that making news?
Hang on. I'm going to go have a look. Hang on. I've got to walk Caroline. Have you taken her to the toilet recently?
I have not taken her anywhere.
Right. Caroline, come here. I'll take her outside. Caroline, come on. We're going for a walk.
to see these imaginary albino
imaginary.
Pheasants that Maureen apparently has hidden in the backyard. Come on, Caroline. Come, sit, sit, sit. Good girl, come on.
Good girl, good girl.
I don't understand why you have to walk outside. You don't believe me. Anyway, doesn't matter. What's on television?
Who?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm not watching that.
Five. Six. So, Caroline, put that down! Put that down, Caroline! Those are really endangered species. Put that down!
It's taking her so long, she just needs to count the bloody get.
What have you done, Caroline? Oh, don't eat it, Caroline. Don't, Caroline, no. No, oh, it's disgusting. Oh, my God. Oh.
What is going on out there?
Come on, back inside. Back inside, Caroline. Back. Come on, over here. Sit.
Oh, you're back, are you? Have you? Are you happy now, Edith, that I've proven my point?
Well... I am, and I apologise. I didn't believe you, but I also said to tell you there's now only 10 albino platypuses in the backyard.
Ah.
Caroline, you've got it spilt all down the front of you. Wipe your chin, you rotten, rotten thing.
Oh, are you kidding me? What did she kill it?
She ate it.
Which one? Did it have the collar on?
It sort of had, like, its nails painted. It sort of looked like it had big eyelashes. It looked a bit like you, actually.
Edwina?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Oh, no. She was my favourite.
I'm sorry. Where did you get 11 albino platypuses from, anyway?
Oh, a pet barn. You know, on Church Street in Richmond? They're terrific there. Jodie, who the manager is. Hi, Jodie, if you're listening. She's just gorgeous. I will say, slight relief that I don't have to buy so much platypus food.
What do they eat?
It's a dry kibble. They love kibble. Yeah. So, that's sad about Edwina, but this is a problem. Oh, so they just found the 12th. Caroline just ate one of them. There's 11 all up now. Well, I might make a call to the government because I grew up in the country and I went to it was a sort of an agricultural school, but I specialised in husbandry. Husbandry is the breeding of animals, you know, sort of making sure that there's a sustainable amount of them being born. So I might be able to pull out my old textbooks from school and see if I can work out how to get all 10 male platypuses that I've got.
From memory, though, Maureen, you weren't so good at animal husbandry at school.
I was good at it. No, because, in the fourth form, they gave us, we all got an animal each. I got an echidna. All the other kids got horses or sheep. I got given an echidna. And I had it for a year. I called it Brian after my uncle. And it was a beautiful little thing. You really grow attached to echidnas, both emotionally and physically, when it spikes you.
Unlike Uncle Brian.
Very much so, yes. And it was equally as unpleasant when he appeared under your bed sheets. The program was about being given an animal, and by the end of the year, to pass the subject, they had to be pregnant or have had made pregnant another animal. It was a really good, it was just a good insight into how sort of, you know, humans aren't the only ones that this happens, and the conditions.
But you didn't
need
manage
to be
to
right. Well, don't worry about that bit, Edith. You know, I'm sure I failed
you,
the
she
subject.
Didn't. No, listeners, I'm sorry. I won't have you coming on this podcast and telling fibs, Maureen.
No, I'm not telling fibs.
Maureen failed animal husbandry because she did not manage to breed Brian, so we had to then take him to our home economics course and learn how to cook him. And he was delicious, listeners. I'm telling you, you have not lived until you've tried an echidna parmigiana. Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, I couldn't get enough of it.
Well, I'm sorry that it led to Brian's death, and I'm sorry that you crumbed him and put cheese and tomato over the top. But I was brought up as a Catholic. I was brought up with morals and I was brought up with ethics. My mother always said, never do it unless you're married. And an echidna can't propose to me.
I don't think you were supposed to breed with the echidna yourself, Maureen. Anyway, what else is in the paper?
Where am I going to find another fucking echidna?
All right, let's see. Here, do you want to read this one?
Okay, what is it?
Daryl, halfway down on the right there.
Daryl Summers.
There's a name I haven't heard for a while.
Well, Daryl Summers. He's in trouble. Let me quickly read what it's saying here. Daryl Summers launches legal action against Channel 7 breach of copyright. Summers Enterprise, Summers... Oh, it looks like here. The TV legend is suing the network for breach of copyright for using unapproved archival footage of John Farnham singing on Hey Hey It's Saturday.
I'm sorry, I'm going to sue Daryl Summers myself, I think, for false and misleading articles, calling himself television legend, I think, is a bit of a stretch. And also, whilst we're making complaints about that programme and the TV, I would like to make a complaint, as I'm sure many people would, about the content of that programme as well.
Of Hey Hey?
Really?
Because of the blackface?
Exactly, Maureen, because of the blackface. Nowhere near enough. I'm sorry, I did not feel represented on that programme. Not enough blackface artists and I'd like to see more. I think that's the problem with Australian television anyway.
I hope, Daryl, all the best to you, and I hope you get a big payout on this sort of legal journey that you're about to embark on.
Now, here you go. You mentioned this one earlier, the cost of living.
Oh, it's shocking.
We didn't have cost of living when we were young, did we?
No, not at all.
There was no cost of living.
Cost of living. People going, I can't pay my uni fees. But we didn't pay for uni at all. We got it all for free.
I do think the cost of living is starting to affect people, of course. Not me. I mean, I have an enormous portfolio of property. All over the country I have properties. I have sometimes my little portfolio management team call me up and they'll say, oh, Edith, just letting you know, that place you've got out in Coolangatta, the tenant's moving out, we'll get you another. I say, I forgot I had it. You know?
Leave it empty.
They say, oh, yeah, we might need to change the taps. I said, no, you're fucking not. I said, you're not spending a cent on that property. I don't care if I didn't know I had it yesterday. I will not be spending a cent on it today. Anyway, so it's not affecting me, but it is affecting some of our friends, isn't it? And we've been trying to be a bit more charitable, you know, and try and help out those that it's starting to hurt. We have a little friend, her name's Erin, and we met her through church, actually, when we were on holiday down in Gippsland. She's lovely. She lives down southeast Gippsland sort of way. I know that, you know, she's a divorcee, which, you know, is very common these days. And I thought she'll be struggling a little bit, so we helped her out, didn't we, love?
Well, you know, growing up near Ararat and this, you know, going to an agricultural boarding school, we're bush girls. We know how to live. We don't need, you know, I don't need tinned baked beans. I get my baked beans off the land.
Yeah, we know how to get a bit of bush tucker, don't we?
Yeah, and so I sort of said to Erin one day, I said, mate, you're a single mother. I said, God's turned his back to you and made your husband leave you. I said, you know, the priest at your little church, you know, he's not treating you very nicely. I said, love, let me take you out. I'll show you how to get enough food to feed a whole family for nearly nothing.
Yes, we took her. We taught her how to pick mushrooms and everything. And I said to her, you know what you need, love? You need a bit more community. I said, invite the priest over. Get your ex-mother-in-law over and your auntie-in-law. Have them around for a lovely dinner. Cook up a nice, something easy, a spag bog or something like that. Anyway, and what do I get? I haven't heard a word from her. I have not heard a word from her.
And I can tell you why, Edith. You know, she, last time I spoke to her about, I don't know, it's been a while, 4 or 5 months actually, come to think of it, the rude bastard hasn't even called. Anyway, I spoke to her, I said, what are you doing for dinner? You got those people coming over. And I said, do something simple, love, take the pressure off yourself. I said, Edith suggested a spag bol or a stroganoff, why don't you do that? Anyway, she did a beef bloody Wellington. I said, love, you're just making your life even harder.
I'd be dead before I'd eat her beef Wellington, I'll tell you what.
And she borrowed my food dehydrator. I mean, I'd have to give her a call.
All right, what else? One more.
You know what? I'm sorry. So I know we're trying to do the podcast, bring big podcast back. Do you mind? I feel like if I don't call her now, I'm going to forget.
Yes. No, give her a call. I think you need to put 03 at the start because it's regional.
Oh, it's STD. Yes, you're right. 03 9 2 1 3 6 5 8.
Caroline, there's a bit of fur on your chin still, love. Wipe that off.
Oh, it's voicemail. Bloody voicemail. Can't people answer their own? Hello, Erin. Maureen McGillicuddy here. I don't know if you remember me. Potentially you can't hear the phone ringing because of the sound of my food dehydrator running in your kitchen, I'm sure, dehydrating something. Erin, you know, this is obviously an awkward thing to call up about. I just, I'd like to set up a time to speak with you And also, have you drop to me the food dehydrator you borrowed? I hope, you know, everything's going well.
Can you tell her I know that she didn't make the spag bog?
Oh, yes. And Edith wanted me to let you know that you didn't make the spag bog. I did tell her that you did the beef Wellington, and I told her that I think you're silly for doing it.
And she used my mushrooms and didn't even follow my recipe.
And she knows that you used her mushrooms to not make the spag bog that she gave you the recipe for. And she's just upset about that too. So I want you to take that into consideration, okay, Erin? And now I hope the dinner did go well anyway. I know that hosting dinners are a lot of work. And, you know, Edith did write it on the back of her recipe sheet, which mushrooms are which and which ones to avoid. So hopefully you took that into account too. Goodbye, Erin.
Say bye for me.
And Edith said goodbye as well. Hope you're doing well. What else is happening in the news, Edie?
Let's have a look. Yeah, pass that over. Oh, here we go. Politics. Oh, did you see this?
What?
State politics. They've gotten rid of Daniel Andrews, the Premier of Victoria.
Oh, I thought he was great.
Oh, he was just wonderful.
And I really enjoyed all those press conferences.
I thought all of the infrastructure that he did for this
and
state.
And I believe in lockdowns.
We've not had a leader like
lockdowns
him for a long time
the
before,
right
and
decision,
and
let me tell you. And I just think, if you think about it, strongest economy in the whole country.
Anyone like that.
And I wouldn't have that marvellous, just a marvellous person. Who have they replaced him with?
Oh, Jacinta Allen. It doesn't say it here. It doesn't say it. But reading between the lines, it almost feels, you know, like it's been pushed out a little bit. You know, you just look at the picture of this woman and you think, there's a pushy broad, you know, wanting to come in and be the dictator of this state and tell us what to do and which level crossings she'll get rid of and which ones she'll keep. And which of poor old Dan, lovely Dan Andrews, who has done nothing but fight for this state for a decade or so, you know, he has toiled tirelessly, often to the detriment of his poor family and his loving wife, a beautiful woman, I might add, who I've always thought was very fashionable. And I just think, you know, how dare she, Jacinta, come in and take over, push him out, backstab him?
She is a bastard.
I cannot stand the way that she frolics around, and you know what women are like in politics.
You can't have women in politics.
Well, it's just really a waste of everybody's tax money and time. I've got to get busy today.
Sorry, I can't answer all your questions today. She is a bastard.
You know, it's not enough. You know, she's over there running New Zealand and now she wants to come here and turn this into another communist state as well. I just think it's shocking.
And she, what did she, oh, she joined the government in 1999, I read in the newspaper the other day. 24 years she's been in Victorian Parliament. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, come and talk to me if you're Daniel Andrews. I mean, he's been in Parliament since 2002. Mm. That's not longer than her.
It's 21 years. And now it's time for a word from one of our sponsors.
At McDonald's, we use only the freshest ingredients, hand-picked by real Aussie farmers.
Morning, Reg. G'day, Steve.
Our beef is 100% free-range and farmed in accordance with RSPCA guidelines to ensure you're getting the very best...
Everyone, stick your hands up! You've served your last McFlurry, girl. No funny business, or the clown gets it. Now listen to me very carefully.
All right, everyone, just do what she says. We'll all be okay.
Do it again, and your manager will get a shotgun in the head.
Don't look her in the eyes. Don't.
Grimace. Walk towards me very slowly. Stand behind me. Bertie, I want you to empty that grease trap. And no funny business.
Do what you said. No. Oh, God. No. Oh, my God. She's fucking insane.
I said no funny business. That's it. You're all done for. Grimace, get in the car.
The humanity! Oh, God, no!
Granny Bingo, wireless.
Welcome back to Granny Bingo Wireless, Australia's favourite podcast, when you remove all other podcasts.
Thank you so much for listening in. We're now going to move on to one of our most regular segments. It's called Agony Grants. It's very similar to Agony Aunts, but we're old. Let's have a look. Now, the letters have been piling up. Of course, we did a little call out on social media for people to send us their problems that they might be having, and we'll solve those problems for you. But I don't know how to look at the internet, so I had one of the nurses here at the home print off all of these lovely letters from people, and my God, this pile is getting taller and taller. Can you reach one from up the very top there, love?
Yes. Oh, I need a ladder. Hang on a minute. I'm just...
All right, hang on. Marge, you...
Yes, I'm getting...
Remember OH&S training we did?
Yes, here it is. Okay. Dear Edith and Maureen, lovely to have you back on air. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
I don't... Is it the air?
Well, the internet is in space, isn't it?
Okay.
It comes from space. And space is just all air, right. I think. So, yeah.
Isn't it remarkable when you think about it, Edith, that, you know, we need air to live? And there's so much of it, like we're surrounded, and like water is the same thing. Don't you find that remarkable?
Yes.
But isn't that a coincidence that we all landed on Earth and it had exactly what we need?
You weren't reading through that Scientology book those young blokes dropped off, were you?
Anyway, dear Edith and Maureen, lovely to have you back on air. When my wife and I first met, she had a bit of a gambling problem. I've got a gambling problem too, a few kilometres too far away from the pokies. we worked together for years to... Oh, it sounds like it's an addiction or something. All right, okay. We worked together for years to overcome it, and we were successful for some time, but I fear that the Melbourne Cup last Tuesday may have caused her to relapse. How can I approach the topic with her? Any advice on how to overcome this demon again? That's from Dave in Craigieburn.
Thank you for writing in, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
We should probably explain what the Melbourne Cup is, Maureen, because we do have people listening in from other countries and Sydney as well who won't be aware of the Melbourne Cup. The Melbourne Cup is a horse race. It's the oldest horse race in the world. And we call it the race that stops a nation, which is kind of ironic after the nation stopped a race with the referendum only a few weeks ago. But it's essentially a horse race. It's a public holiday in Melbourne. Everyone gets the day off. It's always on a Tuesday. And you get tarted up a bit, you know, pop a dead bird on your head and just get a bit pissed and, you know, have fun. And as far as I'm aware, no one has any issues with it. Everyone's very happy.
I haven't heard. No, I don't. I think people enjoy it.
I've not heard anyone complain. It's one of the few things that the entire state gets together and supports 100%,
yeah.
No questions asked.
Yeah. Oh, I think people overseas, if they lived in Victoria, they'd support it as well.
Dave in Craigieburn, I guess the reason I'm explaining all of this is everyone in the state, everyone in Victoria loves Melbourne Cup Day. It doesn't have a problem with it. They're thrilled to bits with it. And it seems to be only you and your wife that are having this issue. I'm not aware of anyone else having a gambling problem or addiction, as Maureen puts it. I think that might be a very unique problem to you and your wife, and only you and your wife. So my recommendation is lighten up a bit, you know. Have a bit of fun with it. Make a game out of it, you know. Really lean in to your wife's gambling problem. Take a leaf out of Beryl and my book, you know. We couldn't put money on the horses, so we started gambling on celebrities going to the bathroom to do cocaine. Just make a game of it, Dave. Get creative. That's right. Race the children, if you've got children, you know. Sort of tell them, you know.
Get creative.
Three times around the suburb, first one back gets dinner, that sort of thing.
I can give you my perspective on this problem, if you like. I mean, that's what Agony Grands is about. And, of course, don't forget, you can send your problems to us too for our analysis, feedback and advice. Look, I'm reading this, Dave, in Craigieburn. I'm seeing things like when we first met, she had a bit of a gambling problem. I'm reading where we took years to overcome and it was successful for some time. But I see the word fear there, Dave. I notice the word fear, that she may have caused her to relapse. How can I approach the topic? Dave, you're coming across as a bit of an namby-pamby, to be honest. You sound weak to me.
Oh.
And I tell you, I know where that comes from. What is happening here, Edith, is very simple. Dave is an abuser. Dave is a controller. He's got control issues. He found when he first met his wife, she had a weakness. She had this addiction to gambling, and he was able to control her. He was able to he was able to manipulate her and make her give up her hobbies and her passions and the things that made her happy. And he had the control. And then we were successful for some time is actually him saying, I failed eventually in my attempts to control her and manipulate what she likes to do. So actually all that's happened is not a demon, and you don't need to approach the topic with her. She's just found herself again. She's found what makes her her. And I say, sister, go for it. Girlfriend, take a loan.
Take his credit cards, Dave's wife, Mrs. Dave, take his credit cards. Go down the pokies and have a
chuck
bit of
all of it in. Get your credit cards. You can get cash out on credit cards. I don't know if you know that, but you're actually able to take cash out. It's at 38% interest and they charge it back immediately, but you can take the cash out. And so long as it's not yours, Mrs. Dave, take all the cash out of every credit card you can bloody find and stick it in the pokies. It seems to make you happy. It got you that far before you met this bastard. And, you know, this is Areola Gardens where we live. It's a safe space. It's like a neighbourhood watch. You can come here and stay with us if he starts getting in your way anymore. We'll go to the pokies with you.
Yes, and if the pokies aren't open, we are about to start a new business, racing 10 albino platypuses in the backyard. So come around and pick your favourite platypus. Platypuses? Platypussies?
Platypuses.
Platter pie.
I'm not putting them in a pie.
All right, let's have a look. I think that's resolved itself. Maureen, would you say? Caroline's nodding.
I couldn't think of anything more. Do you agree, Caroline?
Yep. Good wonderful. Girl. All right, I'll read the next one. Let's have a look. Pass that here. Thank you. Dear Agony Gran. I'm hoping you can help me with some culinary expertise. Oh.
What does that mean?
It's sort of, I think it's when two women, this is cooking. Culinary.
Oh, culinary. Oh, I see.
I've been having some troubles with my hollandaise sauce.
That's when two women do, yep.
No matter what I do, it curdles. Any tips? Not from Caroline, thanks. And that's from Danny in Lake Eildon. Leave the jokes to us, Danny. Caroline is our plaything, not yours. So I'd appreciate it if you didn't make reference to Caroline. It's all right, Caroline, I've got your back, you rancid old tart.
Fuck off, Danny.
But to answer your question, Danny, desiccated coconut, I'd have to say. We're from a generation that lived on the stuff, didn't we, Maureen?
Instead of breastfeeding, my mother just gave me dry, desiccated coconut. It was rampant.
Absolutely, stick it in anything. Look at any Australian cookbook, Dunny, from the 1970s. You'll see it's got a curry, desiccated coconut. You know, Anzac biscuits, desiccated coconut. Lasagna, desiccated coconut. Sweet and sour pork. Desiccated coconut.
Glass of water. Desiccated coconut.
Life expectancy since the 1970s has increased by 27 years, Danny, and that is thanks entirely and solely to desiccated coconut. So, you know, hollandaise sauce, if it's curdling, pop in a bit of desiccated coconut and it will work. Or, failing that, just buy a jar from Safeway's Love. No one cares anymore anyway.
I wouldn't eat that shit if you paid me. So I've got nothing to offer.
You've got nothing to offer. What's your favourite dish to do in the kitchen, Maureen?
Well, I like making American food, like pizza and all that sort of stuff.
Oh,
because,
yes.
Yeah, I get wrap. Wrap. You know, what is it? Wrap. Like
Pizza wraps.
And I stick, I put some ham and cheese. And I like to put some olives. It's, you know, People don't think I like olives, but I do. And I smear it with hollandaise sauce. And I pop that under the grill for a little while, and I make my own little Maureen pizzas. People love them.
Oh, lovely. That sounds fantastic. There you go. Well, there's a little cooking tip for you, Danny. And I think that probably answered your question about what kinds of American food.
Thanks for writing in, Danny. Do you want me to read the next one, Edie?
Yes, please.
All right.
Time for one more, is there?
I think there might be time for one more. I'll have a bit of a read. Hang on. Oh, it's a bit long. Hopefully we can get through it. Okay. Hello, ladies. There's a little coffee shop down the road from our place where my boyfriend and I used to go regularly. Lately, he's been talking me into going to other coffee shops, and on the occasion I do talk him into going to the one down the road, there's a female barista who works there. Sorry, I get this printed into very big letters. Who is very friendly to him. Could he be having an affair with her? Annalise, Glen Iris. Good question.
Annalise, you know, you are supposed to give them your name. You know, if he's sort of walking in there and she's saying, oh, what's your name? And then she calls out, oh, Steve, you know, coffee for Steve. That is normal. You are supposed to do that. And generally speaking, customer service staff are supposed to be relatively friendly people, I would say, Annalise. And to be quite honest, Annalise, you sound a little bit stuck up. I mean, anyone who would spend time writing into a podcast to complain about their boyfriend doesn't sound like the kind of person I'd want to be with if I was a handsome young man who can afford to buy coffees from a coffee shop. So quite frankly, Annalise, I wouldn't blame your boyfriend if he was having an affair with the barista down the road, and I think they'd be happier together.
I think you might be on to something there, Edith, but I want to validate your concern first, Annalise, before we can move on to the next phase of your treatment. Doreen, who I mentioned before, my sister, her son Albert, he was married to a woman who left him for her barista as well, and he had similar concerns. I remember he came to Christmas one year and he goes, I think Sally's having an affair. And we all said, oh, don't be so silly, she's so ugly, there's no way that she's, you know, anyone's rooting her, you know, he married one of the ugliest women in Australia. Anyway, that was sort of needed to be said. And he had this concern that she was having an affair, and it turns out she was. She left him. She took everything and left him with absolutely nothing, and all of that just so she could marry a rich lawyer.
Oh no!
I mean, some people are just
that's a yes, yeah, no, that's you raise a good point, Maureen. It must be a bit of a trend, I think, with the younger people, because I was talking to Beryl when we were on our way to the cup the other day. You were pre-loading, I think, at the time. I think you were...
I drink beer through a straw because the bubbles get into your bloodstream faster. The alcohol gets through.
You were doing that. I was having a chat with Beryl, and she was telling me about her grandson. He is having an affair with a barista that lives down the road from his girlfriend, Annalise. She's quite a boring woman, and he doesn't like her very much. So he's been going to this coffee shop in Glen Iris and having it off with this barista just down the road from this girl's, Annalise's house. So, you know, there is cause for concern, I think, Annalise, and I think, yeah, probably keep an eye out.
Yeah. I mean, if you meet another Annalise that lives in Glen Iris, I mean, you might bump into her.
Ask her.
Just, give her a bit of a warning.
Yeah.
I wonder what the names of these coffee shops. Oh, I love coffee shops. I get mocha. Do you have mocha? Do you ever had that before?
No, I have a cappuccino.
Well, it's very similar, but they put chocolate in, and I like having snot block if they've got it. But, you know, more and more am I noticing the coffee shops don't have snot blocks. They're more likely to have, darling, I'll put your guiz tart or something like that. No, yuck. No, but I like going, so maybe I might go to Glen Iris and go around these coffee shops and see if someone will root me, maybe.
And now a word from one of our sponsors.
Life can be hard when you're one of those people who stands on the street asking strangers to donate to irreputable charities.
Fuck off, mate.
Look, it's stuffed.
Piss off, why don't you?
Sorry, I'm really going to get to work. This is annoying.
The constant rejection can leave people feeling isolated and alone.
What kind of fuck fucking scum of the earth are you?
No, I'm not interested.
I'm on the phone.
If you ask strangers to sign up to a reputable charities on the street and you are feeling depressed, have you ever thought about going and fucking yourself? Like, seriously, go fuck yourself. And your mother too, you fucking wankstain. Wait, where are you going? I just want a minute of your time, you anal fissure on society. Can't you just spare 1 minute of your time to hear about how much of a low piece of shit everyone thinks you are? Fuck you, asshole. Yeah,
oh,
no,
I just
fuck
said
you.
No,
all right, yeah, don't talk to me for a second then. Don't talk to me then. All right,
don't
fuck off.
Stop.
Baby, let's go!
Edith, Maureen and Caroline, without wires! It's Granny Bingo Wireless.
Did I tell you I've got ADHD?
Are you kidding? I've heard about this. They were talking on 3RW that there's been a rise in people talking about it.
Yeah. I thought, well, you know, everyone else has got it. I thought I better get it.
Well, you don't want to be left behind.
Well, no, exactly. No. I don't want to be the loser without it. So I went down to JB Hi-Fi. They had a sale on, which is cool. I got a 60-inch ADHD. And it's got surround sound.
That's an HD TV, not ADHD.
Oh.
That's HD, ADT, high definition TV.
High definition TV. That's what I've got. Yeah, it's so lovely. Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I sat down to do my Christmas cards the other day, and I just, before I knew it, I was just in JB Hi-Fi buying.
Well, that to me sounds like you have an HD TV. But also probably have ADHD.
Oh, right. Oh, we're back on. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. And sadly, this is the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening to it.
Time to say goodbye. That'll get a 5-star review. No, we are thrilled to be back, and we want to say thank you to people who listen to our podcasts all over the years that we've done this and you've had it tuned in. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. There are 4 other seasons that you can go and listen to wherever you listen, get your podcasts from. We've got it on Spotify and Apples and SoundCloud, so you can put all of it up there and have a bit of a listen to what we've done. We're coming back for a very special 6 episodes for this year, and we hope that you enjoy them. Please tell your friends and family about it and share it on the social medias and all that, because it helps.
Yes, I'm not going to keep doing this shit if we don't have people listening to it. So subscribe, tell your friends to subscribe, and of course give us a lovely 5-star review as well.
We've got horribly fragile egos, so...
And of course, if you have enjoyed this, you can come and see us in person at Granny Bingo if you live in Melbourne. We do a regular show first Monday of the month every month. So the next one, if you're listening to this podcast as it came out, the next one is our Christmas special Granny Bingo, which is on December the 4th at 7:30 p.m. That's at the Comedy Republic on Bourke Street in the city. You can buy tickets at comedyrepublic.com.au.
And we're in the thick of planning every single possible format of show that could be imagined by the human being. We'll be doing all sorts of fun things at Midsummer and the Comedy Festival next year. So do follow us on the social medias, because we'll tell you about it all there.
And we might even do a little bit of interstate travel and perhaps even some overseas.
Tasmania?
No.
Oh, good. Thank God. That's it for this week's episode. Tune in next week, of course. We'll be talking about important topics and more advice. Agony Grands, of course, will be in there. And I'll be teaching you how to replace the SIM card in your phone.
And I'll be reading out the lyrics of every single song ever released by the band Silverchair.
And I'll teach you how to use a stick vac to tidy up your undercarriage.
But until then, kiddies, don't forget, you may have backed the wrong horse in life, but you're all right by Nana.
And it's not normal for your mother to kiss you on the lips. Bye.
Cheerio. Oh, shh, Maureen, one of the nurses is coming. Lie down. Sorry, we're supposed to be asleep. Everyone pretend you're asleep. Shh. Oh, my God, they're coming.
No.
didn't do nothing.
I think she's gone. Sorry about that, listeners. There's nothing wrong with living in nursing homes, I promise you. We've got time for... Maureen, wake up.
Why have I got a stiffy?
Oh, that's funny.